Ah, look at this. We're back. Hey, it's Yanni Rood. Welcome to the show.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, recap, season 14 or 15, whatever this is.
It is 14, stupid. Yes.
Season 14.
I need you to pick that energy level up, though. I need you to pick it up. Act like you were excited to watch this show, this episode.
It drains me. Every single time, it just drains me. It's 2 hours of my life I'm not getting back.
For those of you new to the show and wondering why are we recapping season 14 if half of us don't like it, here's the reason. Last season, we were watching, we did the recap of Married at First Sight because, you know, Terrell made a deal with the devil and said he'd never watched The Bachelor until they had a black bachelor. Lo and behold, ABC said, meet Matt James. He was stuck watching The Bachelor, so me being the good friend that I am, watched it with him. In return, him being the good friend he is, he watched one of my favorite shows, Married at First Sight, lucky number season 13. And halfway through that season, he made another deal with the devil. I have no idea why, but he did. And said, if Gil and Merle make it, we'll do season 14. Oh, voila. Here we are.
It's for the listeners. The listeners wanted it, and I caved, and I'm never doing that shit again.
May I remind you that last week you made another deal with the devil?
I did, but after tonight's episode, I'm like, I feel really good about the bet that I made.
So, what did you like about this episode this week? Anything that stood out that you really liked about this episode?
Well, I thought they did a great job this episode of speeding up the spouses meet the family and friends after the wedding. Because I felt last season they dragged that out a bit.
Yeah.
It just seemed like really quick that they got a chance to meet them. But there was some really good dialogue with a couple people that I thought was pretty interesting. But that's the one positive. Other than that, it's still trash. I don't understand why you watch this shit.
Well, let's start digging through the trash then. Let's go. let's start with your guy, Olajuwon, not Olajuwon. Katrina. No, it's really Katina.
So with Olajuwon, I thought, you know, when Katina met up with his family, I thought that was a great exchange. Mm-hmm. When Olajuwon went with Katina's family, it was so funny because I feel like Katina's friend was looking at Olajuwon with that look like, you shady as shit. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something about you is off. And I as a Scorpio, I trust my gut when I meet people. I'm just like, something about you is crazy. And so, I think Olajuwon felt it. And so then after that whole exchange where Olajuwon knew he was on the hot seat, he goes with, you know, gets back with Katina. How'd it go? Well, I felt your sister was cool, but so-and-so, he seemed off and I don't trust him and all that stuff, which is to me what shady people do. They try to discredit the person that calls them out for being turds.
Well, let's be real. The reason why he called him out, because he could see through. Olajuwon sits down and talks too goddamn much. Why are you telling her friend? Oh, wait, she's got some really soft lips, though. It's none of her goddamn business.
Yeah.
That's your wife. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know? So I know why his friend, and then he's like, well, you know, I have no problem getting women. You know, I mean, look at me. I'm a good looking guy. I have no problem getting women. And, you know, I figured I'd try something new. It's marriage. It's not trying something new. You jackass. I am right there with his friend. And his friend is like, I got my eye on you. He was.
Yeah. You. Katina's friend is 100% on point. And I think that Olajuwon felt the heat and knows that he's about to get called out. But it's just so much immaturity, you know, in this man. And in Katina, too. We'll talk about that, but there's just so much immaturity in both of them. And I just don't get it. Like, I think if you're ready to get married, you should do some work on yourself and get yourself ready, you know, ready for that. I don't think either one of these two have done that.
There's the wonderful couple of Lindsay Lohan and Mark the Shark. And really not a whole lot to say about them leading up to meeting the other family and except the no button. I actually have that. I actually have that in my office. And I would do that when people walk in and just hit the various degrees of no when people would come in. No, 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 no.
I liked, so this episode made me really like Mark. I think Mark's just a, he comes across like a good guy. Does he have crazy eyes? Yes, but not like old boy from season 13. But
right.
I like him, and I like how he handled a lot of the situations. I liked the interactions he had with Lindsay's family and friends to try to connect. And I thought Lindsay did a great job of trying to connect with his family and friends. So I'm still hopeful on those two.
Your favorite girl, Jasmina, and my least favorite guy, Michael, who, correct me if I'm wrong, but Michael has not led one damn toast yet. I told you he was the Zeta in this. She's the alpha. He's the Zeta. They are opposite ends of the alphabet. There's a problem.
Well, he grew up with, what, five sisters?
I'm giving a damn.
His mom ran. So he's used to women running him, if you look at it, because he never had really a dad around. So he mentioned
still give a toast.
Grandmother, his mom, his sisters, they're in charge. But maybe that's just who he is. And I see your point. Right, like especially this episode, I see your point. I'm like, dude, you're a little bit weak. You need to step it up. So we'll have to see how those two work out. I do think that when Jasmina met with his sisters, and she said that she's never had a relationship that was local. It was always out of state.
Long distance, yeah.
Long distance relationships. That's interesting. I didn't know that. That's very interesting that every relationship he had has been long distance because. In a long-distance relationship, it's great to be awesome for the weekend. And then you go home. You know, so your real you never really gets exposed. And so I'm wondering that if we're going to start to see the real Jasmina. For Michael, when he met with Jasmina's family, and her mom was really concerned because she felt like, hey, a lot of the things you're saying, it sounds great, but it's very superficial. Damn, and I love the fact that she called that out. Mm-hmm. I love that she was just honest. Like, hey, look, here's the deal, dude. Like, I don't know you. What I'm seeing seems cool, but all this is surface level stuff. I still need to learn more about who you are before you get my full buy-in. And I liked that. I will say that their interaction towards the latter part of the episode where Jasmina feels like he goes, like, everything is the worst. Just based off this one conversation. Like, how do you just go from that one extreme to the other? On a person because you heard something his sister said and you're going to run with that.
No. Okay. Let's be real. And first of all, his sister told her that and his sister put that in her head first. But then the next thing when he's like, well, when you get all these people together, that's going to happen. And yeah, she kind of took it another way. But at the same time, but then he just kept going down that path and proved his sister's right. The difference is, and I agree with it. I'm a glass half full person. So I totally agree with her in that sense. Like, no, you can't approach things as, oh, well, the worst is going to happen. Yes, you can prepare for the worst, but you should expect the best and you should look at what's the best part of that situation. I'm glass half full. I don't care about, I can't live in negativity with people. And if you're going to live in that negative space, then you over there by yourself. And I agree with her in that.
To me, what Michael was saying is valid, that if this escalated to this level over this thing that was so small, we have to be prepared for what could escalate later on in the week. This is day one that we just got here. And this has already happened and it's caused a huge rift amongst the group. So I don't think Michael is being a negative Nancy about any of that. He's just being real. But
Well, keyword there being Nancy. Yes, and you're right, he is. we'll agree to disagree on that. I still think
as Jasmina said, we can agree to disagree.
I will say with Noy and Steve, like Noy really wasn't feeling Steve's answer when it came down to, what are you going to do about a job? She wasn't feeling his response.
100%. I wasn't feeling his response. And I thought it was interesting that the dad is like, hey, so he's like this. He doesn't really want to work. What's your thoughts? And I'm like, damn, dad, you got to throw me under the bus too.
You know, everybody's throwing everybody under the bus.
Sure are. I would never do that to any of my friends. But Noe has a good point, but she needs to dig into that. And Steve needs to have a way better answer because I feel like Steve is smart and he has a background that he could get a job. But his reluctance to get a job, like, I don't understand where that comes from. Like, does he have money? Does his dad have money so he's good? You know, maybe he's a trust fund baby. I don't know.
Could be.
But
because he only worked at that place for 4 years.
Yeah, his whole energy right now is like, I got money. And I'm like, either he was good with managing his money when he was there for 4 years and saved up. And so he can do these things that he's doing where he just drives to Florida from Boston and just kicks it and hangs out. But if he's a trust fund baby, that's something totally different. Where for Noe, I can totally see her concern because from where her parents came from, her parents had to work and grind. And even though she's a beautiful woman with great personality, she had to work and grind. And so why would you be with a dude who's not? And so he's not selling himself. And again, we're only seeing what the producers want us to see. But I'm hoping that Steve is going to come through and like, look, here's my game plan. We're on this show. After the show, I got resumes out. I got some interviews scheduled. I have a plan. I'm hoping that there's that because Noe's mom is right. Like, if you want kids, you need to have a job.
I mean, unfortunately, I don't think he has a plan, just like he doesn't have a job. But and here's the thing. If he's making that much money freelancing, just say that. Like,
exactly.
I make just as much now freelancing as I did with a job. The only thing I don't have is the benefits.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. If that's the case, so be it. But, you know, I mean, we'll see how they kind of roll out. I'm still hanging my head on them. I still think they're probably, at this point in time, they're the best couple. We'll see how that plays out because he's going to need a job by the time decision day rolls.
He's going to need something.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. Because, yeah, he's going to need something. You just can't go into this whole dating, get married and want kids, and you have no job prospects or a plan.
These kids can fend for themselves.
So I'm hoping he has a plan. He's just either has not communicated or the producers have not let us hear it. But I'm hoping the dude has a plan because you just can't just say, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, I do like, what did you think of the whole Sriracha situation?
I didn't.
I loved it. I was like, you go, girl, and go after this dude. And she was hitting him with the hard questions. And so now it explains why when it wasn't Sriracha, it was the other personality that was asking about, so what's the plan for tonight with the honeymoon? It makes sense. But I love the fact that she was like hitting the hard questions because he should have answers to those.
I couldn't be Steve in that situation because I'm not taking you serious if your name is Sriracha. Every time you said, yes, I'm Sriracha.
If you want to be called Sriracha, great. I got to respect that. That's what you want to be called. And that's fine. But Sriracha asked some really great questions. And Steve failed.
Why don't you Sriracha your ass away from this table? How about that? Ask me if I'm asleep with your sister on the first night. stay out of grown folks' business. Sriracha your ass away. How about that?
If you can't take the heat, don't talk to Sriracha. That's how I see it.
And I wouldn't. any other sisters want to ask a question?
Yeah. Nope. Sriracha was on point. What's your intentions? So did you go find yourself? Like, what was the whole deal about quitting a job and drive? I would have asked all those same questions.
Have you found yourself with the multiple personalities? Don't ask me anything.
Doesn't matter about multiple personalities. I totally, we can agree to disagree per Jasmina, but
oh boy, here you go,
I really like what Sriracha had to say.
Of course you did. Alyssa and Chris, how would you react if you were Chris? I mean, seriously, because Alyssa is just like, she is the worst I've ever seen on the show, and I've seen some bad people on the show, and it really gets me to question, like, how do you even get to question his work-life balance when you don't want any part of either? What is wrong with this woman?
She has her issues. I mean, she totally does. I think that, to Chris's point, that she had an expectation of what she was going to get. And for the lifestyle that she leads, Chris seems to come across very financially stable and very professionally driven, which you need to be to support a woman who wants to like hold, ride, touch every single animal in the world. You know, you have to have that. But Chris just needs to just man up and be like, she's not into you. It's like that movie. He's just not into you. She is just not that into you. And you got to figure that out. She has told you up front that, hey, look, let's just ride this process out, however it ends. That's her way of letting you know this is not going to end well.
Yeah, exactly. And look, we would have never made it to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, she's not interested. She's not feeling him. She's not attracted to him. Now, she has every right to feel that. Now, is she being very immature about it? 100% agree. But she has every right to feel that. But her, the things that are important to her, to me, are shallow. But that's her choice.
It's a choice, but her reasoning is garbage. Well, I can't stay in a room with someone I don't know. You married a fucking stranger.
She married a stranger she's not attracted to. Because in her mind, his teeth is fucked up.
She's a brat.
She is. I mean, she's allowed to have been that way. But her what I fault is her mom and her friend, when Chris went to go have brunch with them, they know her. They know she's not interested. Why give this guy false hope?
Yeah, there's that. But then also the fact that they know her and know, like, the fact that she's mad at him for even saying that to them. And I agree with him. But what was I supposed to tell them? Oh, everything's great? No, why am I going to lie to your mom and your sister? Are you kidding me? And he didn't say anything bad. No. He didn't say the things I would have said. He was very politically correct when he spoke to them. He spoke to them like he was on his job. Well, you know, she just feels like there's an attraction. And that was it. I would have had a couple more things to say.
Well, right. He handled it really well. There wasn't anything bad. But that just goes to show that she is zero interest in him.
Oh, yeah.
Zero.
But we knew that when she walked down the aisle. She wouldn't even look at him. She refused to look at him. And, you know, I can't believe they're actually even allowing them to go on. And they're doing this for the drama, obviously. That's right. Why they're letting them still go on this trip. I mean, because there's no working it out. Even when he's like, look, on paper, I can see why they think that we're a good match, and, you know, but obviously you've kind of checked out. How can you say that? How can you say never give it a real chance? Because I saw your face when you walked down the aisle. You were standing 6 inches from me. I could see that.
And this is why I made the deal with the devil on this couple, because I'm like, there's no way that they're going to say yes on decision day.
The prayer warriors are going to work it out. Because, see, again, I said I wouldn't. Chris is a very patient man.
No.
You don't know about Jamie. You don't know about Jamie and when she met her husband in season 1. And that's where the prayer warriors are going to go. But from the blessing of Jamie, they're going to...
Nope. That's the exception. That's not the rule. Jesus can come down tomorrow and come back. Mm-hmm. These two are not going to get together. So I feel 100% confident in my bet that they're not going to make it.
Now, one of the things that popped off and made... of course, one of the highlights, I guess, of the episode, Lindsay and Olajuwon and their situation that was not caught on camera. So it was really interesting, right? Because you see Olajuwon saying something about it. So initially, I'm like, all right, Olajuwon's a bit much. We know he talks too damn much. We know he loves to share too much. And you know he can be a bit much, right? Mm-hmm. And so my first thought was that. And then Katina jumped in and I went, wait a minute. So if she's them, obviously she saw something else too. So maybe that's the case. But I'm still not sure because it's still Olajuwon, right? And then I saw Lindsay drop the white woman tears. And I went, oh yeah, she was definitely guilty. She started that shit. I saw that shit and I was like, oh yeah. It was her. No.
So here's what I saw. I saw someone who is culture that travels all the time and goes to different countries compared to Lindsay and Olajuwon who don't. I'm sorry, Katina and Olajuwon who don't. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why would that be an argument? Like, why would that be something that would set you off? The fact that she made that comment to say about speaking the language and that she could help. Why would that be an issue for you? And to me, that's just that ignorant shit. Like, I don't like being around. I don't like hanging out with people who don't like nice things or going to try nice stuff or trying things out of their comfort zone. You know, you go to a whole nother country, you just can't be like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to Asia, but I speak English. Nigga, I have to fucking deal. Stupid. And so I felt like Katina and Olajuwon's response to that was so juvenile. But then also, they're not as cultured. They're not people who have gone and seen the world outside of the U.S. And to me, you can tell. That's just how I looked at it. I mean, I'm bougie as shit. They all know that about me. I'm bougie. But I watched them too, and I'm just like, what's y'all's deal? Why is this an issue for you?
It's funny. I laugh at that because it's the same thing. I say that about Americans all the time because Americans go overseas and say, talk to me in English because I speak English. But then anybody come to America, like, you better speak English. You're an American. I'm like, make up your mind. It can't be both ways. You got to pick one. All right. But the other part of it is like, Lindsay is on 10 at all times. So you know, she's raw at any given time. Right. So, yes, I get the, I don't think the part of it comes from her saying, oh, speak Spanish. And he's like, look, I'm going to speak English here because that's what I'm comfortable speaking. But yeah, and I've been to Puerto Rico. It doesn't matter what you speak because they speak English and they speak Spanish just as fluent. So it's not like it's that big of a deal. It's so the cultured part, I still think her response to them not doing it and saying, no, well, I'm going to make this point to keep irking you. But and that's if you want to talk about childish, that's childish. And I know that because I'm the person that does that.
But I think they were both childish. I'm not saying that Lindsay is without being wrong, but I'm just thinking like Olajuwon, Katina, why are you letting this shit bother you? Like there's so much stuff in the world to bother you. So to me, that's that immaturity that they have. That's that pretty privilege. You're pretty, but you're not smart. You know, imagine the two of them on their own going to Afghanistan, going to London, going to Quebec. Whatever, where they're just like, I'm going to do me and just have this attitude. I'm like, why are you letting this shit bother you? Let it go. Just be like, okay, cool, Lindsay. Now, true, Lindsay is a bit much. But Katina knew that because she's been around Lindsay. They had the bachelorette party together. She knows what Lindsay's about. So it's not like Lindsay all of a sudden became much. She's been much. Okay, but let that shit go. Move on.
To the same point, when you're like her dad and her brother should have stopped her from acting like this a long time ago. I'm just because you're a bit much doesn't mean I got to put up with your shit.
Plain and simple. It doesn't mean you have to.
I don't care how much everybody else in your life lets you get away with it. Doesn't mean that I'm going to. And there's certain things that and I'm not saying that they're both sides aren't wrong in this. I think it's you know, hey, especially after the flight, you're tired. Everybody's acting a bit fine. And I get this person is going to work your nerves. You got to learn how to compartmentalize and just go, clack, I'm done talking to you.
Well, yeah, but there's nothing to gain from that. That's my whole point. You can have that machismo shit and be like, you know, I don't have to deal with all that. But there's nothing to gain from creating a scene. Just move on. Be like, hey, good talk. Appreciate that, Lindsay. And walk away. I'm not saying Lindsay's better. So, you know, people who subscribe.
Definitely not. Doesn't matter how many times she went to Puerto Rico.
But I'm just saying that. Why get into that shit when there's so much other stuff? Like, let that go. That's so little. That little thing escalated something big to the point that Katina was ready to fight. Olajuwon was ready to fight. And I'm like, why is it to this level?
The telling thing of all of this was when Mark came down. And this is when I knew that after I saw those tears, I was right. Because when Mark came down and he apologized, right? Which he didn't, I mean, because it wasn't him, but he's apologizing on behalf of her. And I think it's one of those things where, he's a peacemaker. Mark the Shark, AKA the peacemaker. And I get where he's coming from in that, all right, let's just, we got time, we got to do all this stuff, we got to get through, let's move past this, right? And that just told me a lot of what happened in the beginning of it, right? Again, they didn't have to react the way they did, so be it. But let's see them move on from it. Obviously, it's not because we've seen the previews for next episode. And the catamaran ride is going to be interesting.
Well, but I disagree with you that the fact that Mark the Shark came down to do the mea culpa, to me, it doesn't mean that Lindsay was wrong. They were both wrong. But I feel like what Mark did was, I'm going to be the bigger man.
They're both wrong. She's still wrong.
I'm going to be the bigger man and say, you know what? Let's move on from this. Hey, this happened. Here's what we want. And then Olajuwon's like, look, I don't need an apology. We can all be cool. But it took Mark to initiate that. And then even still, Katina still has that fuck that bitch mentality when it comes to Lindsay. Now, Lindsay was wrong. And again, they didn't even show the conversation. So we can't say Lindsay was wrong because we've not heard the dialogue. But the fact that they were that livid.
We need to see all the tape.
We do. The fact that they were that livid over that about speaking Spanish in Puerto Rico.
I think it was a lot more than that, buddy. That may have been the catalyst. That's the start of it.
The way that all of them handled it, the way that escalated, they're all wrong. But I can't look at this and say Lindsay was the wrong person. And they didn't show that. They're just showing you what they want us to see to make us think that. But no, But the fact that Olajuwon and Katina had that mindset of just like, let that fucking shit go. You're on your honeymoon. Why do you give a shit?
It's interesting to me. You keep saying that she's not wrong, but then say they're all wrong. No, that means she's still wrong. He's wrong. No. She's wrong.
They're all wrong, but the lack of maturity.
She's not wrong.
No, she's wrong. Well, we didn't see what she said. All we know is what we heard that Olajuwon and Katina said she said, but there's no video that shows exactly what she said.
So next week, obviously looks like it's going to be a pretty interesting episode.
It looks like they showed everybody getting into an argument. But we don't know what happened. But it just shows everybody gets into something for next week.
It's called a preview, sir. It's what a preview is. It gives you a tease of what's coming up. You got to watch next week to find out what happens.
For some reason, everybody gets into it.
I'm going to need you to put the wine down and not drink wine next week, okay? No. I'm going to need you to do that for me, okay?
If I could smoke weed and watch this, I totally would. I just don't have access.
Oh, that'd be even worse.
I don't have access, but... Watching the preview for next week's episode, apparently everybody gets into something, but we don't know what caused the argument. But there's something that everybody gets into.
Yeah, and it looks like a bunch of different ones. I mean, like, obviously, Alyssa and Chris is going to be obvious. She just doesn't want to be anywhere around him. She doesn't want to breathe the air. She's mad that he's actually breathing, that he's alive and walking. You know, he gets on a paddle. Oh, well, there he goes. Like, Jesus Christ, you don't want him next to you. What the fuck? Is he? He's leaving. He's going out in the ocean away from you. Turn around, take your ass back up. You don't have to get out there.
She's treating him like he has COVID. Like, anytime he tries to say, like, hey, do you want a pina colada?
Oh, my God. Oh, this is going to be a shit show. It's going to be amazing when they turn around and they're the only couple that survives this whole thing.
No, they're not. You watch your mouth.
Oh, my God. Hey, don't forget, Monday we drop the audio episodes of regular episodes. And then on Tuesdays, we drop the video. And Wednesdays, we're back here for Married at First Sight, Season 14, Boston, the recaps.
It's painful, but I'm in it because I committed. Man of my word.
I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Hey, make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit we'll talk about on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.